Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll hear from the Cowboys and their presser imminently announcing Brian Schottenheimer as the brand new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. In the meantime, we got some more football stuff to discuss. I wanted to throw this out there. Tyreek Hill did walk back his I'm out comments. And he was like, look, it was frustration at the end of the season. And I always do kind of wonder if, like, in that post game, if you should get a certain percentage of leeway of like, we just lost, man. I'm mad. What the hell do you want me to say? Like, I was amazed listening to Josh Allen. Like, he was sad but composed when I would want to be up there and be like, what the hell do you want me to say? It makes it feel like football is useless for the next 11 months and how many days until we get back to this point.
Did they sit him on the right-hand side while they were making all their speeches and they had to golf clap during some of it and make weird faces?
I don't think so, and I don't think half the people stood up while the rest of them just sat there. I don't believe.
I don't watch those things unless they're my team. Yeah. When the game's over, it's over.
Okay, that was something I was intrigued by because you said something earlier. Do you guys engage in, if it's not the pregame, the postgame? Because like when you were talking about Chris Jones like crying before the game, I fast forwarded through all of that stuff because I'm usually like, hey, I can pick it up 10 minutes after it's like supposed or it's broadcast time.
I stopped watching. I'm with you. I just stopped watching the Eagles destroy Washington. And so I turned it over to CBS to get ready for the Super Bowl.
Okay, I gotcha. And I just don't normally, Corey, I don't know
about
you.
You're not a big fan of pageantry either.
That is very true. And plus, it feels like maybe with our profession, like we've talked about a lot of this stuff all week. And I'm like, I'm ready to see the game. I'm amped to see the game. Like, I don't care about the pregame packages and stuff. But Corey's right. I'm not the audience that is directed to anyway.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out Todd Monken is on his way to a new contract with the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
So he helped. Lamar Jackson have his best year we've seen. I had a question for you guys about the Washington game. Jaden Daniels, we've talked about rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs and how it just doesn't work out, how they don't get to the Super Bowl. He started off rocky, right? Like that in that game, his he couldn't find a target. Everything was low, dropping, and then he sails one. And you could see the nerves on him a little bit for the first time, I think.
Yeah, but look at Josh Allen. That's, he was worse.
That is honestly what I was about to say. I don't disagree with that at all. But early on with Josh Allen, I was like, dude, calm the F
together.
Down. Like, I know that's easy for me to say. I'm just sitting there eating some tagalongs, and I'm not actually, like, contributing to the game whatsoever. But I was like, you need to calm down.
And that was just watching Jaden Daniels. I was going, okay. He's nervous. He's kind of pushing some of his throws instead of throwing them the way you typically see him and expect him to be.
And so I have a friend, you guys know him, and for no apparent reason, I'll shout out Worth Collecting in Waxahachie. It's a really cool place. I think they're closed today, though. And he goes, wow, the Eagles beat the 4, 6, and 7 seed or something along those lines. Really impressive run to the Super Bowl. And I hear that. But also, Washington was trying to become the third number 6 seed ever to beat 1, 2, and 3. And they got demolished particularly in the last 2.5 quarters. I won't say they got demolished in the first quarter and a half. But from that point forward, they pretty well got demolished. So I hear what you're saying. But the Commanders are also the team that this upset. And then they went up against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia's like, no chance.
No, because they're that good of a team. That roster's complete.
I found this statistic amazing. Do you know that Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback since John Elway to make it back to the Super Bowl after losing in his first appearance? So think about that in terms of like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow made it to the Super Bowl. He lost in his first appearance.
Hasn't gone back yet.
Yeah, those people don't go back to the Super Bowl. And that kind of blew my mind.
Did that happen before Joe Montana too? Like, was it a frequent thing where is like a guy would go.
John Elway.
John Elway
would never lose a Super Bowl. That's a good question. Well, I mean, I guess with the Cowboys, it would have happened. Yeah. And
I was thinking if Buffalo would have won, I was thinking, gosh, every team in the NFC East has beaten Buffalo in a Super Bowl. New York, Washington, and Dallas twice. And I was like, if Philadelphia makes it.
Oh yeah.
I was like, if Buffalo wins, then Philadelphia can lose to all the NFC East teams in the Super Bowl.
That is super weird. All right, let's shift our attention to.
It doesn't look good for Shoddy's career, does it?
They're not on time.
They're in the atrium right now. Okay. So they're almost there.
I'm sure.
All right, let's do some wanker of the weekend. 877-881-1053, and I want to start with college basketball if we can. Look, Corey. I know this is not necessarily the time for college basketball for most people.
I have a college basketball conversation today.
Oh, my gosh. And for people asking, yes, that means Girl Scout cookies are available once again. Let's talk about Kansas and Texas A&M. Because they think that leading a basketball game is stupid if you want to win it.
They're only up by 22, A&M.
Texas A&M was ahead of Texas by 22 points with 17 minutes and 7 seconds left. A&M got outscored 41-18 the rest of the way, and they lose. Let me ask you this.
That school's cursed.
Is that, it feels like it. Do you think that's worse, or do you think Houston defeating Kansas in overtime, they were losing by 6 points with less than 10 seconds left. Now,
that's worse.
If
you're up by 6 with less than 10 and you lose, you've done a tremendous job of playing bad basketball.
Now, they didn't have the ball. Houston had the ball. They hit a 3-pointer with 7.5 seconds left. Oh, we got the pressure. Right. Ready to go right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Let's go. I'd like to introduce our participants here on the stage who everybody knows. Of course, Cowboys owner, president, and general manager, Jerry Jones. Our new Dallas Cowboys head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. And chief operating officer, executive vice president of player personnel, and co-owner, Stephen Jones.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll clap for you.
Now, what we'd like to start off with is some remarks from our head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, and then we'll follow that up with questions.
Thank you, Tad. First of all, I'd like to thank Jerry, Miss Jean, Stephen, Charlotte, Jerry Jr., the entire Jones family. Over the past 3 years that I've been here, it's been really incredible to get to know them. But I would say really over the past 4 or 5 days as we've spent a lot of hours together that I really realized why this organization, but most importantly, this family is so special. So thank you guys for the opportunity. From a football family, the Schottenheimers, to the Jones, thank you guys for this incredible, incredible opportunity. And I look forward to working so closely with the entire family in continuing the legacy and tradition of this football team and the special brand that it has. I'm honored and privileged to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I'd like to just talk briefly about some of the people that we're looking for. And there's a lot of those young men in the back of the room here that, as you guys will learn from me, the Schottenheimers tend to be criers. And that just means we show our emotions. And so the type of people we're looking for, they're modeled by a lot of the young men in the back that I will talk directly to them in a minute, is just a special group. We're looking for world-class competitors, guys that want to compete every day to be the best versions of themselves. We are looking for people with a relentless work ethic. I was taught at a young age by my father that you can outwork people in this business. You don't belong in this organization if you don't value relationships. This business has never been about X's and O's. It's about people. And when I thought about it, I can't imagine sitting up here with a better group of people, a better family to do this with. So I thank you guys for that opportunity. And lastly, the type of people that we want, people that love this game. The game of football has given me so much, my family so much, but if you're not passionate about the game of football and the shield and what it represents, then you're probably in the wrong line of business. To our players, you are the core of this program, and we will focus on you every day. To Dak, JT, JB, Demo, Brock, T-Sizz, Josh Butler, Kalen, Carson, Scooney, you're back there. I don't know if anybody else snuck in that I missed. It means the world to me that you guys are here. And I can't wait to do this alongside you, to get to know you guys at an even deeper level. I want to get to know your hearts. I want to capture your hearts and let you guys get a great feel for me. But thank you for being here. It means the world to me. Quickly about culture, things that I believe in. The family first mantra, which is embodied by the Jones family. To do and make the sacrifices that we make in order to pursue excellence, it requires the sacrifice and you need to make it fun. My conversation with the Joneses has been incredible. We see football the same way. It's a first class organization all the way. You can't. I've never been in the big room, Jerry. I've never been in the big room. But it's a first-class organization. But please understand this. A first-class organization is not just about the structure or the walls. It's about the way that we treat one another, about the way that we earn each other's trust and respect, and the way we just treat our fans. We treat the people that matter to us most. What I'm going to challenge these guys to do is to let their personalities shine. We've got some incredible, incredible players. We've got incredible support staff. The strength staff is here. That means the world to me. You guys took the time to come up here. But to do what we need to do, it's going to take incredible amounts of hard work, but we're going to do it together. Our team, the Dallas Cowboys, will be driven by a competitive spirit and a love for one another. Lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't thank my family. It's been an incredible journey. I've had some opportunities when I was a much younger man that I didn't feel like I was ready. I'm ready now. I know what I want. I know what it looks like. But for you guys that have been with me the whole time, my extended family, I love you. Thank you for being here. To my sister that couldn't be here, Kristen, I know she's watching. She probably has on my dad's Schottenheimer jersey. To my wife, Jemmy. It's been an incredible journey. Lots of ups, lots and downs. You've always been by my side. You're my best friend, and I love you more than you know. To my kids, Sutton and Savannah, thank you for the sacrifices that you made to allow me to pursue my dream. You are my greatest achievement, and I love you. To my mom, one of the first ladies of pro football, when I saw her last night and I had the chance to embrace her, she said, "Baby, you did it. I love you." And in closing my remarks, there's one person that's not here today, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him. My father was a legendary coach, a great man, but he's an incredible father. And he's impacted me more than anyone in this profession. I know he's looking down on me. I know he's proud. And I miss him very much. But I know what he'd say to me. He'd say, Brian, the easy part is over. It's time to get to work. I love you, Dad. Thank you, everybody that's here. Go Cowboys.
Thank you. Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. This is for Jerry and Steven. Why did you pick Brian Schottenheimer? What was it about him that you guys felt like he was the right fit for you guys?
In the almost 35 years that I've been involved with the Dallas Cowboys, I've only missed one Senior Bowl, 35 years. And I think I missed one combine in 35 years. At the NFL, over the last 4 or 5 years, the NFL, we want to come in a day early so that we can visit with prospective coaches for the future of my team and any of the teams. In 35 years, I don't think I've ever visited with a coach but what in my heart and mind I wasn't having an interview. I don't think I've ever had a coach visit with me that wasn't prospectively thinking maybe someday our paths might cross. I know Jones might give me a little thought as I'm along the way. I've been around a lot of coaches. As a matter of fact, I wanted to be a coach. Except I wanted to live better than I thought coaches live. I wanted to drive a little bigger car and I wanted to fly in an airplane. Had I known what I'm paying them now, I'd have been a damn coach. But having said that, coaching is no, and the makeup of coaches are no stranger to me. On my college team, within almost 3 years after we won the national championship, every position coach, the Johnny Majors, the Hayden Fries, the Doug Dickies, every position coach became a head coach. Barry Switzer at Oklahoma. So I've seen it when I was a pup. I have a good background in the makeup of what a coach is. To think that you could make a decision in an interview and not have talked if you didn't and hadn't ever communicated or had a visit, I wouldn't dare have had an interview unless I talked to many, many people that knew that person and had those kinds of life experiences, knew their story, if you will, Shotty, knew their story. Pat is here today. Jean, my wife, is here. Pat is Shotty's mama. When I served on the competition committee, we had many times that we were together. Gene knew Marty. Okay, we knew you. We know what osmosis is, and we know what Shotty grew up around. Not just from that, but we knew. Frankly, from the standpoint of Shotty, those X hairs crossed. Shotty might never have been in our mirror or in our view had he not joined us to be with Mike as a consultant 3 years ago and had he been a coach. I've sat in handfuls of meetings with Shotty. I've listened, I've watched him, have deference to his head coach. I've watched him have deference to experience guys like Zimmer, guys like that got around. I've watched him bite his lip sometime when he didn't necessarily agree with that direction, but he bit his lip, as his daddy would have told him to bite your lip. Have deference to the head coach. I've watched him exercise those things. I've particularly been a part of seeing what's brought this players in here today. Guys like Dak. And I know that Shoddy is no stranger to these guys. I know he's no stranger to this building. Now, I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. Without this thing being about me in any way, if you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. But let me share something with you. With all of that, you've just heard him reference his osmosis, his family. Anybody in this room that doesn't believe the apple doesn't go far from the tree has missed it someplace down the road. Especially if there was an effort to make it that way, and there was an effort. But then you go around to the countless numbers of coaches that Shoddy has served on staff with and been around, the countless players. How often do you have someone that has 25, I'm going to say 25, it may be 26, of years of working through the human relationship and working, aspiring to learn, of have his ears and eyes wide open and looking for techniques and looking for things that make coaches better? How often do you have a chance to take advantage of all of that at 50 years old, which is a puppy? Yet he's had 25 years being around the kinds of things that he's going to have to draw on to be a coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I like his baggage. I like his baggage. I like that experience. But let me say this. I was standing with Shoddy when he called his mother. And I heard the other end, and I was listening to Shoddy. And one of the things he said to his mama is, "Mama, I'm going to get what Daddy didn't get a chance to get, or got a chance but didn't get. And I'm going to get a Super Bowl if it kills me." And his mother, of course, was emotional. "This one will be for Daddy. The first one will be for him." I don't know what you call instincts. I don't know where you come. I really wouldn't dare try to tell you how Jimmy Johnson got here. I don't want to go into all the psychological stuff that caused Barry Switzer to be here. Or Chan Gailey. But it wasn't just about X and O's. And it was about things that were all melded in with some of life's experience and using my own osmosis, how I got here. All of that comes to play. I've read where we didn't have but 4 or 5 interviews. It's ridiculous to think that you can make a decision to coach the Cowboys relative to the number of interviews that you might have. He's a product of a lot of time. Many will say misplaced time or skewed times. I've read where I don't have a penchant for risk-taking. If you really knew my score sheet, you would see that I've taken more risk in the last 5 years than the rest of my life put together. And sometimes I don't know when I look in that mirror why the risk is taken with it there. Let me say this. It was a huge risk to get involved with the Dallas Cowboys. Huge. And a lot of people that quote unquote didn't understand or feel like it could be done. I spent a nice part, Tim Callishaw, you'll remember it. I spent a nice part of my early 4 or 5 years with the Dallas Cowboys defending why not Coach Landry and defending why Jimmy would make a good coach. I think one time I said he's worth 5 Heisman trophies to be a good coach. Did I know? No, but I knew Jimmy. Okay, had I interviewed countless thousands of coaches? No. No, not at all. So what I'm here to tell you is this was a thorough process, shaded by whatever my experiences have been, shaded by my experiences with Stephen and Charlotte and Jerry, shaded by many things. We all are involved in this. And what I would say for the fans is that, yes, to some, and it might be couched as less than glamorous hire. What I would say to you is I got here taking shots and not shoddy shots. I got here taking shots. Good things have happened. Let me tell you something. There's some stuff to be had over there where not many people go. There is. Don't think for one minute I won't take a shot. This was risky. This is risky. But by the same token, how often can you take a risk when someone has had over 30 years, almost 30 years, getting my numbers mixed up, but almost 30 years of being around coaches, of being around players? That's 2/3 of his life. And then the rest of it growing up in a football-oriented, NFL-oriented family, if you will. I think this might make something special. So I'm all behind what we're, to say the very least, Clarence, for your benefit, I'm all in here.
Clarence Hill, All-City DLLS. You brought up risk. You also brought up Super Bowl. What about this move gets you to the Super Bowl? Because that's what the fans are talking about. And Shadi, by the same token, question for you and for Shadi. What difference can you make from the Mike McCarthy era from a cultural standpoint that gets him over the hump?
Mike's one of my best friends. And when you talk about what Mike and this football team has done over the last 5 years, it's been some incredible success. One of my greatest strengths is my ability to create relationships. Relationships that are built on trust, respect, connection. I'm really good with X's and O's. But I'm great with people. And the type of men that we have in this locker room are excited about that. And so I think as we build this thing out, as the culture comes together of this team, that's where I feel like my greatest impact will be felt. With the relationships, the ability to communicate. I've always been someone that was very good at having open dialogue, hard conversations, and I've always tried to paint very clear, bright lines. And that's what I plan to do as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Excuse me, speak up. Mike McCarthy left some good stuff here. One of them was Bryant. He did leave. Mike McCarthy's a hell of a coach. He left some good stuff here. It was time for a change. I've heard it criticized. We spent 5 days getting to come to that decision. We did come to that decision. One of the reasons we came to that decision is because there was this decision available to us as well. One of the reasons. Shoddy has fantastic support among our players, key players, real support. And they've seen him when he was on top, and they've seen him when it didn't work out so well. That's an advantage here. That's a real advantage. That was big. That was real big. This process, I've read where it looked disjointed, it looked untimely, it looked those kinds of things. The very nature of the process, the time after we played our last game, and you've all heard me talk about how I felt about Mike McCarthy as being a good coach. But that time, those days, to reflect with him and go through many things that we should and wanted to talk about, that caused us to arrive at that. But what we have is an opportunity to take some of the very best things that are here in place, Mike's doing, some of those very best things, change some of that, add to it, and be better for that. Shoddy's very much aware. I've heard Shoddy referred to as maybe old school with his offensive philosophy. Well, I'll tell you one thing. As these philosophies or as these offensive philosophies evolve, okay? Shoddy has a good feel for not only the offensive philosophies where they are today, but where they're going to go, and certainly where it has been. That's rare to come in here with this kind of energy, this kind of I'm going to show them. That's rare to combine those two things. Yeah, there'll be change, but we'll use in place some of the many things that we have here now.
Brian, Todd Archer with ESPN. You said in the beginning that you weren't ready then to take a head coaching job. Why are you ready now?
I think, you know, over the past 19 years, when that first was afforded to me, when I was first-time coordinator with the New York Jets and a bright spotlight. There were things that made me pause. Now, spending the better part of the last 19 years learning, listening, doing, I've learned things, almost more things that I don't believe in than things that I believe in. Todd, I've always tried to be someone that moves around. I want to be around incredible coaches and players and try to learn from them. And so going to Seattle was, I would say, critical to my development as a coach. Pete Carroll challenged me in a number of ways. He challenged me to continue to be authentic, to continue to dive into the relationships that matter, which is your coaches, your players, ownership. He challenged me offensively, to be honest with you. He challenged me with, hey, what do you think about this scheme? What do you think about that scheme? You know, and the McVay-Shanahan style was taking off, and in Seattle we were competing against, you know, Sean and Kyle, and so he was pressing me. So I just really feel like things changed for me when I went with Pete. Learned a ton from my dad and all the coaches, Mike and Steve Spurrier, all those guys. But Pete Carroll had a huge impact on me, and it probably sharpened my edge and sharpened my view on what I want this opportunity to look like. And that was a big change for me, and one that I'm excited about moving forward.
And then for Steven and Jerry, what do you guys need to do differently to support Brian and to end the 29-year drought that you guys have between going to a Super Bowl?
Well, I think we, you always have to evaluate, where it didn't go right last year. And obviously we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, in terms of, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl. And, you know, we just have to continue to make this roster better. It'll certainly be something that Jerry, myself, Will and his staff, and now Coach Shoddy and his staff, you know, we'll sit down and take a look and see what we have to do better. I think we got a lot of great pieces. You ask why Shoddy? I think Shoddy's the perfect combination of keeping some continuity, but also affecting change. And we have to support that as well in terms of being behind him and doing the things he wants to do. I've walked in Shoddy's shoes. You know, I have a lot of deference in myself as well, working with Jerry. Shoddy did the same with Mike. Would he do things different? Is he going to do things different than Mike? Absolutely. I'm convinced of that. And, you know, I think we got a great plan on defense. I think we got a great plan on special teams. We're putting that all together. That has to come together as a staff, and certainly Shoddy leads that. And as he said, his best, some of his best characteristics are communications and working with people. And I see that. I've taken that in. I've gotten more respect through this process with him, and also talking to other men about the job. But certainly we'll do a real deep dive on putting some personnel together, whether it be through the draft, free agency. I know, you know, typically that's not been the way we've done this team, but we'll certainly look at it and, you know, put really good, not only players, but good football character people with some of the men we have in this room right now. And we have a lot of great players on this team. And certainly no one has excuses. We had a few challenges this year on the injury front, and that's why we think we do need to keep some continuity. Certainly every team, when they're looking for a coach out there, is looking, you know, what's in the best interest of the quarterback. Certainly that played a role here. And, you know, Dak's not making any coaching decisions, nor does he want to. But I can tell you every team who made a coaching decision was looking at how they solved for the quarterback. And, you know, that's how you win in this league. I think we've got one of the best, if not the best, in terms of our quarterback. And he's the ultimate leader. And we just have to continue to put the pieces around. And, you know, we're not naive. I know our fans, you know, they're not going to believe, and there's going to be pressure until we get the job done. And certainly we didn't get the job done this year, and our ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. I can tell you, I've never seen a man more driven than Jerry. You know, this is huge to him to go get this championship. And I know Coach Schottenheimer believes the same thing, and I know our players sitting in the back want it. I mean, they want it. They're driven to get it, and we've got to get the right people to put around them. You know, we'll have turnover in our roster like we do every year, and our goal is to put together the best roster in the NFL.
Steve Spurrier told me, I called him and asked him about Shoddy as a ball player, how he got there. He said, well, to start with, he threw the first touchdown pass in our national championship season. I got mad at my Heisman Trophy winner under center and sent him out there and damned if he didn't throw the touchdown pass. But he told me a lot about Shoddy. I called Pete Carroll to talk about Shoddy. Why did y'all split up? Why'd you fire Shoddy if you fired him? How'd that happen? So we got into that real good, because Shoddy has been effusive about the impact of not only his father, but Pete and the people that have shaped him along the way. But it's kind of interesting. Old Will and his staff, they go to the next-door neighbors of these players that we're drafting or look at drafting and get that next-door neighbor to talk about them at that time. Boy, you need to do that when you're dealing with a head coach. Now, I didn't have to go to the next-door neighbor with Jimmy. I didn't have to go to the next door neighbor with Barry. But, man, I've been to this guy's next door neighbor. Personally. And I like our shot with Shoddy.
John Machota with The Athletic. For Steven, you know, we know that you met multiple times with Brian, several hours. Can you just kind of go behind the scenes and share some of the stuff that was talked about during that, and at what point you guys kind of felt comfortable making him the next head coach?
You know, as I said, and certainly I probably more than anybody have respect, you know, for what Shoddy's role was. I mean, Mike was our play caller. He was our head coach, and then he was our play caller. And, you know, Shoddy was there to support him as the offensive coordinator. But I think, you know, some of the most important things for us, after you get to know the man better and you see the energy, you see the way he can communicate with Jerry, with myself, with the room, you know, certainly that jumped out at you. But the bigger thing, as I mentioned, you know, we certainly want continuity, but we also want change. And, you know, just felt like, you know, we need something that's going to freshen it up. Mike did one hell of a job here. He's the winningest coach, I think, in the history of the franchise. You know, had an unprecedented, you know, three-year run, winning 12 games. So, you know, Mike did a lot of great things here. But at the same time, you know, we just felt like, Jerry felt like, I was supportive of it, you know, that we did need change. And we wanted to hear what, how that was going to happen. And, you know, it's not just the X's and O's. We obviously went extensively through the X's and O's, but we also, you know, you get into the schedules, you get into how you get your players motivated, how you take care of your players. All those things are, you know, part of being a head coach, and it's a lot. And that's why, you know, a lot of people sometimes scratch their head, why would you go with a first-time head coach? You know, that's been the way of the league these days. Most are going with these young offensive wizards that hadn't been head coaches. But I think we got a better version of that because of Shoddy's experience. I mean, everybody's mentioned it, 25 years of NFL coaching and a whole lifetime of being around it. He played the game, you know, at a high level of competition in college. Certainly that made an impression on him. But it was real important, and the more we met, the more we wanted to meet. And I think that was helping us, you know, come to a conclusion on what that decision should be in terms of, you know, Coach Schottenheimer being our next head coach.
And for Brian, real quick, just what was that moment like when it was Jerry or Steven or whoever told you, hey, we're moving forward with you, you're the next head coach?
Humbling. There's so many incredible coaches in this profession at every level. Again, I think I look back on my journey and, you know, the fact that I'm sitting up here with these two men in front of you guys is a great lesson for coaches. It's a great lesson for my kids, for some of our players about persistence. And you get knocked down, you get back up, and you keep working. And I'm incredibly, incredibly honored to be sitting in this chair because it's such an incredible profession with so many great coaches that when I got the news, I just really couldn't speak. I really couldn't speak, and immediately I went to seeing my father's face and knowing how proud he would be of me.
And I'll say he turned around and called his mama right there in front of us. And that was very emotional. And I kind of set him up. I said, you know, you are a first-time coach. And I believe we're hanging around the rim. I think we've got in place. A team that can get there right now. I had other coaches tell me that were wanting the job. You're right there. Right there. This, that, and the other. So I started to explain to him, but tongue in cheek, that I just couldn't take the risk of going with someone that was doing it for the first time. And then proceeded to go over some of the things that we talked about right there. And that's how he found out. He started, in my mind, finding out we'd be at our Monday morning coaches meetings. And we'd be sitting there and this year, more often than not, I'd have my head down and just be sitting here listening. And all of a sudden, that shotty would pop out with something. I'd go, hell, that's pretty good. This is kind of a somber morning. That's pretty damn good. Okay. Those are the kinds of things that give you an advantage if you've been, have proximity. And that was an edge to go along with the many boxes over here that were not checked. But that was kind of the edge. Nobody, no situation checks all the boxes.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Telegram. This first one's for Jerry right here in the front.
Where are we?
Right here. You obviously know the man to your right very well. When you talk to fans are super impatient. They see two NFC East teams playing yesterday. Obviously, the drought that we've spoken to. I know you've spoken to fan sentiment, but why should fans buy into Brian Schottenheimer?
Well, you have touched on one point. Our fans have been very patient. Very patient. And through you to them, I want to tell them how appreciative that I am of the support and of their interest in the Dallas Cowboys. Now, there's a whole bunch of those fans that look and are interested because they want to see me grovel, whatever it is. But I'm not putting that up there much. But to those fans who have been with us, this decision to bring Shoddy in is risky. It's not a Hail Mary at all in any way. But it's founded over some very unique, as I started off, unique sets of circumstances. I know how much our fans are into the Dallas Cowboys. And for me to be into it is no solace at all. We're interested, they're interested, I'm interested in getting to those playoffs and winning. This is the best way that we can go to the playoffs and win.
My next one's for Brian, if I could really quick. You've worked with Dak Prescott for 3 years now. Obviously, he had a lot of support for you. What do you feel like you two can work on together to unlock even more of his game?
Well, before I respond to that, I'd like to go back with one thing, Nick. Like, I'm not doing this by myself. I've got the incredible support of Jerry, Steve, and the Jones family. The young men that are sitting behind you, we're doing this together. So my message to the Cowboys fans and community is we're going to do this together, and we're going to build this thing the right way. We're going to get the culture right. The X's and O's will come. That doesn't matter. But the support and the work ethic of these guys that sit behind me, incredibly humbling that they know what it takes to win, too. So it's not just me. It'll be me and the staff. Your second question, I apologize, was?
You've worked with Dak for the last 3 years. What do you feel like you can get out of him? What do you feel like he can get out of you as well?
You know, iron sharpens iron. And Dak and I have an incredible relationship, just like I have an incredible relationship with all these guys. Dak and I know how to push each other's buttons. We know how to have hard conversations. I laugh because I think about in training camp last year, a ball got intercepted, and we kind of had a thing in place where it was like, if you throw an interception, you come out. And so I took Dak out, and he's like, what? Like, he pushed back. He's like, ah! And the competitor in him is special. And so I think he and I working together, along with the rest of the guys, putting together the system. There'll be tweaks. There's going to be changes. But he's the type of worker that changes an entire organization. And I think he and I see the game of football offensively very, very similar. And we'll have tons of communication moving forward on some of the thoughts of things we want to do, whether it's tempo or, you know, some of the different things we're trying to do with our play action passing game, the run game, things like that. But he's easy to talk to, and I love and respect him along with all those guys.
Hey guys, Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Two questions. The first I'll lead to Shoddy, kind of circling back to what Jerry and Steven both said as far as freshening things up, looking for a change. From a head coach perspective, that's going to key in on the offense. Generally speaking, how do you look to move forward as far as modernizing the offense? You talk about solving for the quarterback. What does that look like under a Schottenheimer era?
Yeah, again, I go back to my days with Pete. I think if you go back and you look at some of the things we did in Seattle, obviously the starting point for me would be things that our players do well. You're always going to start with that. If your system's not flexible enough to do what your players do well, then you're probably in the wrong business. But I'm a big believer in cut splits. I'm a big believer in shifts and motions to distort things. We're going to do a great job of marrying our runs and our passes and make those look the same. I'm proud to say that two different times in my career as a coordinator, we led the league in rushing. And they go hand in hand. The running game and the action passing game go hand in hand. But I would say there's a tempo element that we're excited to mix in, that our players have all shown an affinity for. And let me expand on that a little bit. Why do players like tempo? Well, they like tempo because it allows them to play free. You guys have heard some of the play calls. Dak could rattle off four or five of them right now. They're pretty long. So when you go fast and you're playing on the ball, these guys, it's a little bit more like pick up basketball, you know. And those would probably be the biggest things that I would say from an offensive standpoint.
From a personnel and roster building standpoint, salary cap management as well for Jerry and Steven, you guys talk about learning some hard lessons, especially from 2024, depth issues once you guys were ravaged by injury. Just as far as salary cap management goes, free agency and the like, looking in the mirror is one way that you can learn things. Another way is to look at what your opponents and enemies are doing and try to kind of take from their strategies. When you look at a team like the Eagles, for example, do you mm-hmm. feel there's anything that you guys can kind of take from their strategies, seeing as they handle free agency a certain way and they're back in the Super Bowl this year, that kind of could work for the Cowboys going forward?
Yeah, I think you certainly look at that. I think you look at your competitors in your conference, you know, what it's going to take to have success, whether that's a 49er team or whether that's an Eagle team. Obviously the 49ers you know, had the injury bug situation, and you know, with in this salary cap era, if that injury bug hits you hard enough, it's, you know, it can be difficult to overcome. And but at the same time, you know, that's the goal, is to, you know, really do a good job with your draft, college free agency. That should be where your strong depth is. Obviously this year we were counting on playing those guys right away, and they had to jump right in, and as the injuries came, more and more had to jump in. And but I think the bigger thing here is just, where can we, you know, which has been our goal in the past, where can we, you know, in free agency, take care of some core needs, so that when the draft comes, you are able to take the best player on the board, not unlike we did with CD. We weren't necessarily in that draft looking for a receiver, but CD Lamb's sitting there, and you know, it's obvious what you do there. And I think if you do some things in free agency, you know, like we've done in the past, to really take care of your roster before the draft comes around, you have a much better chance. But certainly, you look at the blueprints. Everybody does it different. Kansas City's doing a great job bringing young guys along, and you know, those type of things. And like a team like Philadelphia, you certainly look at the way they're doing it, where they went out and you know, did some things with some veteran players. You have to take a look at that, and then you got to find exactly what fits your core, your DNA with our players, and what we have, and what gives us the best chance to compete against. Certainly you start with your division, the Eagles, the Commanders, and the Giants, and then you stretch that out, and what does it take you know, to beat the 49ers, to beat the Rams. Certainly those are all things that come in the mix.
I'll answer this. It's money management. Cap is financial. When I bought the Cowboys, several of your counterparts rode over with me on this little jet airplane, rode over to my home in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we got off the plane and rolled up there to pick us up was a 5-year-old dirty Ford Bronco. And they got off and said, "This doesn't make a lick of sense. You just bought the Cowboys and you're flying a jet and you drive up here in a 5-year-old dirty Bronco." And I said, "It makes perfect sense. You can't have it all. You got to sacrifice someplace to get the other. If you try to have it all, you can pay the fiddler when you've used up your credit. That's salary cap. That's a salary cap. Not one that we won't hear, oh, what about that team? They've got the same salary cap issue you do, and they've got that done." Well, it's because all teams are different, and they've made those decisions as they've moved along. We want to improve significantly how we are doing the cap. The cap takes a big hit when you're invested in players that have injuries, significant injuries. So the cap can take a big hit at that time, cap management. But it's still there. It's still there. It's as real as if it was never there, the availability of it. And so if somebody thinks it's daunting, I try to answer you when we're talking. And so you hear me talk about, well, we have to manage the cap. Why not this free agent? Why don't you go do this? Not necessarily why didn't you go do that with that, or the timeliness of how you did it, but why didn't you go do that? That's all management, okay? I want our fans to know that I can manage really good. I do real well managing. I do real well managing. I know that that bank account's full, that doesn't mean you got money. It just means you hadn't paid your bills due 60 days from now. So you got to look around the corner. You got to be good at it, and you got to live with the time that you're looking around the corner. Okay? And so that's what you see here. No apologies. Everybody has to do it. We obviously hadn't done it well enough. I think our first Super Bowls that I was involved in were before the cap. And so we have to do a better job in that area. Can we? You bet you can. You bet you can. Now, all in, we just spent some of it for Dak. We spent some of it for Lamb. We spent some of it for several of our players. It was an allocation, an anticipation of what we weren't going to spend or not spend in the future. All of that said, spend a lot of time in this area. And I'm not talking about just sitting there in the office on a chalkboard. I'm talking about 3 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep and you're sitting there doodling that cap.
Brad Sham, 105.3 The Fan. Brian, how long have you been thinking about and prioritizing being a head coach? And did this opportunity surprise you?
Humbly speaking, Brad, when I was probably 20 years old, 22 years old, I was throwing the first touchdown pass of the 1996 National Championship season. I actually had a card in my wallet that I had written down a goal. And it said I wanted to be the youngest head coach in the history of the National Football League. I think at the time it was David Shula. And that's when I started thinking about it. And that's why when a couple of these opportunities